You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Moss, and I'm the Strategic Director for ICT in the Building Schools for the Future programme in the UK, which is a programme to rebuild every secondary school in England over the next 15 years, but also to provide new ICT infrastructure and tools for all those schools.
Well, welcome, Steve. Thanks for giving up your time. Now, straight away, you've touched on huge kind of ambitions for the whole project there. Tell us a bit about how you're actually going about, you know, redesigning, renewing every school in England over the next 10 or 15 years.
Okay, well, we're very fortunate that we've got this huge budget, about £45 billion over the next 15 years. And about half of that will be spent building brand new schools. Some other schools will get kind of substantial remodelings, and some of the more recently built schools that don't need renewing will get additional funding for new ICT infrastructure to bring them into the 21st century in that regard. And doing all this, we work very closely with and through local education authorities, doing this with groups of schools at a time. And what they're doing is procuring new buildings, partners to build those buildings for them, and also partners to work alongside the schools and the local authorities to produce new ICT environments as well.
And tell us a bit about, because a bit about your role specifically there, because I know you've got, in a sense, a portfolio for ICT. Tell us a bit about what you do and how you do it.
Okay, yeah, there are kind of three sides to my role. I often think about myself sitting in the middle of a triangle, and on one of those sides, I'm facing towards the local authorities and trying to help the local authorities and challenge the local authorities to engage fully with their schools, to try and get a vision for how this money for buildings and ICT is actually going to change education in their locality, improve education in their locality, particularly along the ICT side. So that's one bit. Other side, work with and interface with the government departments, the Department for Children, Schools and Families, the new department there, and also other agencies like BECTA and QCA and the Training and Development Agency, National College for School Leadership, because this is such a big challenge, making secondary education fit for purpose in the 21st century, that we can't do it on our own. So I have to try to engage all those other groups in the task. And the third side is facing towards the industry and actually looking out there, trying to learn from industry what's coming, you know, over the technology horizon, as it were, but also making industry aware of what the education change agenda is, so that they're constantly thinking about what it is that they're producing and how it can actually help, how that can be brought into the task of you know, making education fit for purpose in the future.
Wow. Well, I can imagine that's very challenging, just in a sense of managing all them partnerships. And what are the kind of barriers that you've come up against? Because this is obviously a new way of working and creating schools.
Yeah, it is. I think the barrier is one of the barriers is it's a mental barrier. You know, one of the things that we say is that there are few financial or technological barriers in what we do. Most of the barriers are in people's heads. And actually, it's about trying to be bold enough to envision what 21st century learning environments might actually be like. And people are constrained by their experience of current educational settings, and not helped really in some ways by, you know, the title of our project, Building Schools for the Future. So we think, well, we're building schools. But actually starting to think about what a 21st century learning environment looks like. And recognizing that it is this convergence of new physical spaces and new virtual spaces, and that it's the way that those two interact with one another that will change the way in which we shape education moving forward.
And why does it need to change then?
I think, you know, if we recognize that at the moment we have an education system whereby commonly accepted benchmark measures, like the number of GCSEs that people attain at 16, whether or not we agree that that's the right kind of measure, we have a system where at the moment less than 50% of our 16-year-olds are coming out of school with 5A stars to C, including English and mathematics. Now, the question is, are those young people failing, or is the system failing those young people? And, you know, clearly, we need to do something to improve that. And I think that's part of what this capital is about. And we need to re-engage those young people who are becoming disengaged, you know, from education and don't see how it relates to their future life chances.
Mm. And I want to go back a little bit in terms of the ICT portfolio you hold, in terms of what you're trying to do and how you're doing it, and to ask a question about, well, what are your perceptions of today's student then and their ICT needs compared to 10 years ago?
Okay, I think that today's student is using ICT more in their life outside school than they are inside school. And I think that's actually a shift round over the last 10 to 15 years, where there was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there was sometimes more technology in schools than there was outside. We now have much more technology in the hands of young people outside school. And I think there's been a real challenge for schools to recognize that and to recognize the ways in which young people are using technology outside the school setting and take account of that in school. I think one of the big differences is that in school, young people often feel that they have an audience of only one, and that one is the teacher. What you produce is for the teacher. And yet outside school, they're using technology for an audience of their peers, whether that's a small group or everyone with access to the internet, if they're publishing stuff to Flickr and to YouTube. And I think that schools are finding it very difficult to come to terms with the changes in young people's use of technology outside school. And that's a big challenge for us in the programme.
And I want to ask a question as well, because you did say about this is not just bricks and mortar, this is not building new schools. And obviously what we do is try to change people's perceptions through our training of the use of ICT, new media and technology. And could you touch on how you guys are going about forgetting about the infrastructure, the bricks and mortar stuff? How are you changing those people's, and like you said, the barriers in people's heads?
Yeah, well, that's one of the big challenges of our program, because we're a capital program. We have money which is to be spent on things. So we have to find innovative ways of using that money or allocating that money so that we can get into change management and staff development programs, recognizing that that's a really, you know, that's at the heart of it. We're working very closely with National College for School Leadership, and they've developed a new BSF leadership program for senior teams in schools, which is designed to help them to think about the changes that they want, you know, to if you like, renew their education vision, and to help use that to help shape how they would spend the capital. We're also working with local authorities on trying to shape what a teacher education program, teacher training program, staff development programs, workforce reform, all of those kind of things will look like if we're going to get the maximum benefit from the money which is being spent on technology in the program. But as I say, that, you know, that really is a challenge. And it's one of the reasons why the public-private sector partnership is quite important in this. If the task of the program is not just to build new schools, but to transform secondary education, to really radically step change improve secondary education, we think that's a big challenge, and that it's better met by bringing the expertise of the public sector, the education authorities, the local authorities, together with the expertise, in the case of ICT, of the private sector, where some tremendous business change has gone on through the application of ICT in the private sector. So a lot of these companies have lots of experience on how to re-engineer processes, not necessarily in an educational context. Bringing those two together, we think, gives us a better chance of actually getting to transform secondary education.
I totally agree, but I want to ask the big million-dollar question for me, which is where and how are young people playing a role in actually helping you guys design schools and designing those programs, because they're the ones who are using the technology but also have the needs and understanding about what they want to do.
Yeah, well, you've really hit an important point for us. Earlier this year, we did a fairly large-scale survey to find out how the program was going, and one of the weaknesses in the program was student voice. which is a phrase that we use to describe young people's engagement with the programme. So we're working very hard with local authorities now to try and ensure that as early as possible in the programme, they're engaging young people in the discussion about not what buildings do we want, because really, in a way, that's kind of irrelevant. Mm. It's what are our aspirations for education and learning? What can we tell you about how we currently feel about the way that learning and teaching goes on in our schools and how it engages us or doesn't engage us? So trying to get young people involved in that process and engaged in a conversation. It's not formal consultation in that sense. It's about starting conversations with young people in each of these local authorities, which then help to shape the education vision for that local authority, which in turn then shapes the bricks and mortars and the ICT infrastructure. Brilliant. But we've got a long way to go on that, but it's something which is very high up our agenda.
And it seems like an exciting road to take, fella. And I'm just going to wrap this interview up with thanking you for giving up your time, Steve. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Well, and thank you very much indeed, DK. It's been a pleasure to be involved.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.